WGCH Sioux Center time is 7:52, second Thursday of each month. State Representative Stephen Meskers of Greenwich. Good morning, Representative. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Tony. Very well.
All right. Got through the storm, I hope. Well, you did.
Yep.
You're joining me here, so you made it. All right. However, a lot of people not happy with Eversource Energy and their response to the storm. If you could, what is your take?
Well, I want to alert the public. There's two things. There's going to be a PURA hearing on August 24th. I posted that information out to the residents, I think Greenwich Free Press and the Greenwich Times, and I'm sure the Sentinel has an article. So people can participate in that hearing, and I think on the 27th of August, the Energy and Technology Committee is tentatively planning for another hearing related to the Eversource outage.
All right, what do you think of their preparation and response to the storm?
You know, it's a complicated issue, but it's a simple baseline of looking at regulated utilities. We as ratepayers basically provide the company with both the balance sheet for the compensation for the management of the company, the dividend policy for shareholders, and the resources to build us a grid. Now, supposedly over the last 10 years, they've strengthened the stability of the grid. They've worked to improve their service. But obviously, we saw a tremendous outage in relation to the storm. So my concern on that is related to how many people they had staged in Connecticut prior to the storm and the question of their response time in the storm. Well, you know, we've had people out for as many as 6 or 7 days because of the storm damage. And so we'll be looking at what their policies were, how they managed this storm, and why the response time seemed to be so long. I also noticed that there was a lack of out-of-state crews, which got flown in after the event. And that contributed to the what I think was a relatively slow response time. Now, the people on the ground were working very hard when they got here. So the linemen and their work was probably notable in their efforts, but I have a lot of concerns about why it took so long to get the responses done and how we can further strengthen this grid going forward.
There's been a call for Eversource to provide reimbursement for those who lost food, prescriptions, and so forth because of the loss of power. And Con Edison is doing that for those who lost power for more than 48 hours. But Eversource says it's an act of nature. We don't do that. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, the claims for compensation are going to be issues that are going to have to be brought up in our hearings. I guess the question on the claims of compensation is ultimately who's paying that compensation, right? And that goes to the structure of a company. Now, agreeing to add to the damage all of the claims from the individuals, if Eversource doesn't have any liability insurance or to cover those claims, ultimately, the problem is those claims will be paid by one group of people, which will be the ratepayers. And given where we are on our rate structure, I'm not absolutely opposed to it. But if it's going to end up jacking up our rates, I have serious concerns about that.
The Attorney General is calling for it to come from the shareholders.
This, I think, was, you know, I have to congratulate William Tong on this. When you look at this, and I've worked with utility industries in my banking career, more on the international side than on the domestic side, but ultimately, if all of the cash flows of this company come from the ratepayers, that goes to three issues. One, provide the service they give us. Two, provide a dividend policy. And three, provide a compensation policy for their executive management. So I think the two issues that bear concern for me are the shareholders fully protected in this entire environment, and is that the right policy course? Because if we think that the management wasn't well prepared and didn't deliver the services they needed to, it would seem to me that their dividend policy needs to be called into question. And it doesn't seem fair to me that the ratepayers bear all of the costs of the storm. And if particularly if it resulted from poor planning and poor execution, and therefore doing something on the dividend policy or calling for a cut in the dividend policy would wake up the shareholders to the company that there are problems in management. So I'm not adverse to pursuing pursuing that line of investigation.
Okay, let's move to some other issues. A police accountability bill passed in the special session. Your thoughts about this?
Well, this was obviously an issue that has conflicting stories to it, and it unfortunately it seems to have become a partisan issue, which I don't accept at the outset. I think the question of police accountability is a question that rings across the nation. And we've seen the stories, we've seen the photos, we've seen the video clips. Obviously, police practices need to be reviewed. Now, that's very hard to talk about or think about from the view of people who support our police and view our police as our first line of defense and our first responders. Certainly here in Greenwich, my interactions with the police, my conversations with them, and I look at their performance during the storm outages, and it was incredible. But I think we have to acknowledge that we live in a diverse state, and that there are instances where, and I've heard personal stories that are both raw and searing about what I would describe as insufficient, inadequate, or unacceptable police practices in areas of the state. So I think the accountability bill was crafted with a lot of discussion, and I think we were close to a bipartisan agreement up until the last 24 or 48 hours in negotiating that bill. Where we hit some sticking points was the issue of qualified immunity. Now, when you read the stories, you will hear analysis that we removed qualified immunity, we put the police at personal liability. But if you delve into both the national discussion and at the local level, you'll find that we did not remove qualified immunity. We basically rolled back that issue of qualified immunity to where it stood between 1967 and 1980. And what we've done is, in the cases of egregious actions and willful misconduct, we have provided a civil recourse, so that we can set precedent and we can review the cases where there are limited actions, where the police acted outside the scope of the law, and we've provided people with redress for those issues. So I would argue that we've improved the arc of justice. Now, I can't expect the police departments and all to be thrilled about the law, because basically under the current practices, which are in effect until April, I believe, of this coming year, you basically have, if you are operating in that realm, you have a safety net which is gold-plated. And I would argue that maybe that safety net now is bronze-plated versus gold-plated. So if I'm a police officer and putting my life at risk and taking those issues, obviously my best and strongest position was the position prior to the change in the law. But I would argue that I think we have probably balance the arc of justice and help the issues of resolving those bad practices, and provided for a method where those few bad actors, and I don't know if it's 1% or 2% across, you know, the state or across the nation, where those bad actors can be disciplined and potentially removed from the police force. But I think as we walk through the process, we will see that this is not the demon that some people would paint it to.
All right, Representative Meskers, unfortunately we've run out of time. We'll hopefully get to the other topics maybe next month, but I appreciate your time this morning. Have yourself a great day. We'll talk again in September. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Take care.